Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Build something you can be proud of. There's something incredibly satisfying about learning something new and actually watching your progress build over time. That's what I love about Rosetta Stone. You don't have to dive in for hours. You start small, fit lessons into your day, and suddenly you're understanding more than you thought you would. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, and their immersive, intuitive method really stands out. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists and no feeling lost. You learn naturally, starting with words, building to phrases, and then full sentences, without English translations. So it actually sticks. Plus, Rosetta Stone offers 25 languages, from Spanish and French to German and Japanese, all designed for long-term retention. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners of this podcast can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? I was so amazed at how he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube.
I think we should call a doctor.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air. Deep left field. Way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principles. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer. And baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. I always try to be honest with you guys. I am not in a good mood today. I feel better than I did yesterday, you know, a little bit more medicine, a hot shower, you know, my sinuses, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm coming in here with a little bit of an attitude today, and I'm not going to take it out on you guys. That's not the job, but it is my job to tell you guys my opinion and sometimes answer the question of why. I will do that coming up in just a bit. We'll start to get you ready for the Super Bowl. We'll talk a little quarterbacks. We'll talk about Matt Nagy, who is now the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants. Matt Tate is going to be on the show today. We got a lot to get into. It would appear that the league is starting to maneuver some pieces around the board, and we are starting to get a clearer picture of who really is trying to go get Giannis. Draymond Green is on the trading block. There is a lot happening right now in sports, so we're really happy to be here with you on this wonderful Tuesday. Before we move forward, let me remind you of a couple of things. Number one, as you listen to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. Two people, because it's Black History Month. And number three, and most importantly, go stop by and see our friends over at The Other Place for a Tenderloin Tuesday. You can get a half pound ham-breaded pork tenderloin and fries for $8.99. It's the best deal in town. Also, while you're there, you can get the 25-ounce domestic mug, $5. A 25-ounce domestic mug for the price of $5. Go see our friends over at The Other Place. This is why I'm a little bit upset. And I already know what the text line is going to say, so I don't even have the text log. I don't even have it logged in. I'm not looking at it. I don't want to look at it. This is why. I have sat here for every day of the college basketball season, and I've seen the way that you guys have talked about Darren Peterson. oh, he doesn't care about KU. Get him out of here. Sit him down. We don't want him. I've heard all the backlash. And I've sat here and I've defended the kid. I think the kid is hurt. I also think the kid is amazing. I think when he's healthy, he is the best college basketball player in the entire sport. And I've sat here and I've watched KU fans complain about the gift that they have been given. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game yesterday. There's not nothing else. I'm figuring we're probably going to lead with it. I watch every dribble of the game. Now, I can't lie. I thought KU was about to lose that game. They got off to a little bit of a good start, but I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, KU's only up 2 points. And I mean, Texas Tech's All-American only has 2 points and was out for a majority of the first half with foul trouble. Their All-American point guard isn't playing, and we think he could have played in the second half. They went 7 minutes without scoring. I felt good about Texas Tech heading into the second half of the game. And for the first 19 minutes of the second half, I felt like I was right. I felt like I had an accurate prediction. And then I kept watching. And then I saw that kid for KU hit 2 shots that I don't think any Kansas basketball player I've ever seen with the ability to be able to do that. Not back to back. Maybe they could have hit one of those 2 shots. I mean, I've seen a KU player hit one of those shots. I've never seen a KU player in back-to-back possessions hit a fadeaway NBA Street type 3, come back down on the other end, ISO. Everybody in the building knows who's about to take the shot. It doesn't matter. You still can't guard me. In your face, hand down, man down. Kansas, who got outplayed for the first 39 minutes of the game, then figure out a way to win. You know how I feel. And maybe some of you won't admit that you've ever felt this way before, but that's okay. That's what the Open is for. Have you ever seen a really, really beautiful woman? I mean, she is the most attractive woman that you have ever seen. And then you see her boyfriend. And part of you in the back of your mind, you're starting to hate a little bit. You're thinking, what did he do to deserve her? I would treat her so much better than he would have given the opportunity. That's how I felt towards KU yesterday. I don't know if you guys deserve Darren Peterson. Not the way that I've been seeing you guys talk about Darren Peterson this year. Not the way you guys have acted and handled Darren Peterson. You deserve that kid saving your ass against TCU the way that he did, making those three free throws at the end of the game. You deserve him going on the road and getting you guys best win in the last 6 years. Yes, that's the best win they've had since COVID on the road. And just hitting 2 incredible get-it-out-the-net shots. How does it always work out for Kansas? This is going to work out for them, isn't it? Yeah, I'm hating a little bit. This is going to work out for them, isn't it? K-State fans, they're sitting there and they're trying to rub pennies together to get their coach out of here. Missouri, they're not making the NCAA tournament this year. They haven't beat a good basketball team at any point in the last 14 months. You're telling me it's going to work out for Kansas? That kid with the pulled pork hamstrings is now going to get healthy and figure it out, and they're about to go on a run toward a championship, aren't they? Bryson Tiller starting to figure it out a little bit, starting to understand his size, starting to understand spacing, starting to understand his role on the team. Melvin Council, who couldn't shoot for the first 10 games of the season, is now a consistent 15 to 20 points a night. Cole Rosario, who hasn't hit a shot in about 6 weeks, just going out there, he's skying up for rebounds, looks like Dennis Rodman in a Pistons uniform. How can it work out for them? Why is it going to work out for them? Rob, I really hate the way that they make me feel. I wasn't actively rooting for them or against them. I'm just watching the game. But maybe I think I've been too complimentary towards KU in 2026. I've been giving them too much credit. I got to turn back the other way. Because what I saw Darren Peterson do yesterday, and when I think of the way that the text line has been talking about him, how they've been treating him, how KU fans have tried to I wouldn't take him with the number one overall pick. Okay. All right. I don't want KU fans to be happy now because of him. I really don't. I don't want this to work out for KU. I was telling Rob this earlier, and I felt kind of embarrassed telling him this. This KU team kind of has a little bit of everything that I think KU fans love. They've got the one-and-done superstar freshman. I mean, who doesn't love that guy being on their team? You got Melvin Council, who Melvin Council is going to be able to come back to Allen Fieldhouse for the next 40 years and get a standing ovation. He will always be popular with that fan base. You got a kid in Bryson Tiller. I mean, that's the traditional Kansas big. Now, let's see if he stays, because we all know the transfer portal doesn't love anybody. But if Bryson Tiller stays another 2 years, he's the next All-American big. Trey White, I think they just got a little bit of everything. And if they're going to have the best player on the floor in every single scenario, and he's going to play 35 minutes the way that he did yesterday, it's just going to work out more times than it's not supposed to work out. It wasn't supposed to be this way.
You see, I don't know. I see it the same way about how it's not supposed to be this way. Because I don't know if you remember, back in April of last year, after my basketball team was eliminated, I started talking about Darren Peterson. And then in June, Royals weren't doing nothing. I started talking about Darren Peterson. Then in August, I started playing clips that called him Kobe. You did not like this. It didn't matter. We had a Darren Peterson minute on this show before a dribble of college basketball season. And now, I will admit, I have had some frustrations with the kid's availability. But you know what? I'm moving past that. Because this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what's supposed to happen when a kid who's supposed to be the next Kobe decides in the last minute of the game, screw you, fans of Lubbock. We're winning today. That first three on the flare screen. I don't think I've even seen a player in Kansas make that shot. I mean, the minute it went up, just splash. I didn't even graze the rim. And then the minute he's dribbling up floor, you know he's hitting a game winner. You say it wasn't supposed to work out this way. This feels exactly how KU fans want it to work out. Their star player making star player plays on the road against a top 15 opponent, and KU has a celebration in the locker room. That feels like how it's supposed to be in Lawrence. Because you told me yesterday, the old KU of old would win this game. I've seen it a million times. Well, call it a million and one, because Darren Peterson has Kansas back, baby. By the way, they're third in the Big 12 right now.
It wasn't supposed to be this way, man. It was a great win yesterday by KU. It's one of the more impressive wins they've had in the last 5 years. I thought Texas Tech outplayed them. They were on the road. And with about 5 minutes to go, I saw a vintage Kansas basketball team. Flory made a couple of plays late. Bryson Tiller made a couple of plays late. Melvin Council always hits a little runner, a little floater, always does those things. And then when they needed a closer, when they needed a guy who at some point somebody's got to go get you a bucket, Darren Peterson got those buckets yesterday. Congratulations, Kansas. That's a good win. It's a very solid win. Right now, Joe Lunardi has you on the 3 line. I think you guys can maybe get up to the 2 line. You certainly have the wins in non-con. And if you finish top 2, top 3 in Big 12 play, would say that warrants the possibility of you being a 2 seed and the path being very clear for you guys to make a run. I don't know what to say. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to college basketball. I'm really beside myself in what happened yesterday. Honestly, I'm beside myself. I'm frustrated. I'm sad that it's working out for Kansas. They made it seem like they were in the worst situation ever. They were calling this Michael Porter. They wanted to sit the kid down, his agent. We've heard it all. I wish there was a way to pull up old text line text. I wish we could just go and find old tweets from KU fans. It doesn't matter. It's worked out for Kansas for all 37 years of my life. I don't know why today's show should be any different. They're probably going to win the Big 12 now. They got Arizona coming up, next Monday? I'll probably beat them at the crib, too. That's what this team just looks like they're going to do. Coming up on the other side, we will talk a little bit of football. I want to do a fun exercise with you guys. I'll explain more. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Build something you can be proud of. There's something incredibly satisfying about learning something new and actually watching your progress build over time. That's what I love about Rosetta Stone. You don't have to dive in for hours. You start small, fit lessons into your day, and suddenly you're understanding more than you thought you would. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, and their immersive, intuitive method really stands out. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists and no feeling lost. You learn naturally, starting with words, building to phrases, and then full sentences, without English translations, so it actually sticks. Plus, Rosetta Stone offers 25 languages, from Spanish and French to German and Japanese, all designed for long-term retention. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners of this podcast can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Rob, if you can, have a little NFL music ready. We'll get to it here in a little bit. I will say one of my favorite things that the text line does is I mentioned Cole Rosario in the open of the show, and now the text line is just comparing Cole Rosario to just other white basketball players. I love Cole Rosario. He reminds me of a more athletic Dean Wade. Okay, I'm not here to argue you. Someone else says, he reminds me of a young Chandler Parsons. Okay, I got it. No, you're right. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to debate. If that's what you think you've seen from the kid so far, hopefully the kid stays in school. Hopefully the kid continues to grow and develop at KU, you know. Didn't he reclassify, Rob? Rosario reclassified, right? So he's supposed to be a high school senior.
Yeah, he reclassified to come up a year, yeah.
So he's supposed to be a high school senior, you know, averaging 4 points, 2 rebounds. Giving you 0.6 assists a night for KU, shooting 40%. He did have a big-time rebound that led to a three for Kansas. You know, every little bit matters in a one-score game. And Cole Rosario, he made a couple of plays late for them to help them win the game. So, you know what? I want to do a little bit of an exercise, and this is the exercise that I would like to do. Rob, if you can play a little bit of NFL music, I have the last 5 drafts in which a running back has been selected in the top 10. Now, I have not gone through these because I wanted us to do this exercise in real time. My hypothesis in doing this is I'm not sure if the running back that gets picked in the top 10, we are going to look at and say that that's the best running back in that class. I only bring that up because a lot of you would love if they drafted Jeremiah Love. I mean, I wouldn't hate if they drafted Jeremiah Love, but just my hypothesis is going to be that the Chiefs don't need to spend spend 9 for a running back. They can spend 40 and get a really, really good running back who can help them the same. Like, I don't now want the Chiefs to overcorrect. For example, if your wife tells you she wants you to spend a little bit more time at home, I don't think her solution is quitting your job. No, I think she just wants you to prioritize her a little bit more. So, yes, I want the Chiefs to invest in a running game. I don't want them to invest the 9th overall pick in a running game. How about you just go out in free agency and just spend a little bit of money? Spend a little bit of money to get the backup running back for the Falcons. Throw him in here, get a 3rd-round pick. Look at that. You've upgraded the running back room. So let's do this exercise, Rob. Let's do it together. This is our true in real time. Rob had no clue we were going to do this. Rob, hit that music. Well, there was a running back selected in the top 10 this past season. You guys might remember him. Heisman Trophy winner, runner-up, Ashton Jeanty. The first 5 running backs this year. Ashton Jeanty, Omarion Hampton, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, R.J. Harvey. Those were the top 5 running backs in last year's class. I don't think you can argue Jeanty's the best running back in this class. Is Jeanty even the 2nd best running back in this class? If we're not doing this exercise? Because Judkins was better than him this year, and so was Travion Henderson was better than him this year.
Is he even 3?
I'd rather have Jeanty than those other 2 guys. I would. I mean, I know we had a little bit of a rough year, but I'd rather have Jeanty than have Hampton and R.J. Harvey.
His production's probably similar to the other 2 guys, though. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I don't think it's crazy to say he's 3rd.
I'm looking at this class from last year. I mean, Woody Marks was in this class. Cam Scataboo was in this class. I just...
Rashard Smith, too.
Yeah, for sure. Kamanungai was in this class, too. I don't know where it went so wrong for the Chiefs this year at running back. All right, in 2023, there was a running back that was drafted in the top 10. Bijan Robinson was the 8th overall pick. I think Bijan Robinson's clearly a better prospect than Jeremiah Love. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, I looked at Bijan Robinson as being an absolute can't miss. He is going to be a star running back in the league. He's turned out to be that way. He felt like a no-brainer. I don't know if Jeremiah Love feels as undoubtable, surefire, he's going to be a 5-time all-pro kind of guy the way that I felt about Bijan coming out of Texas.
I agree. I would say Love is more can't miss than Jeanty was, but I don't know he's as can't miss as Bijan, if there's like a hierarchy. But yes, I think Bijan was a more highly rated prospect coming out of college than Jeremiah Love will be.
So these were the top 5 running backs that year. Bijan Robinson was number 8. Jahmyr Gibbs was number 12. Zach Charbonnet was the 52nd overall pick. Kendre Miller and Tajay Spears. Also, right outside the top 5 was Devon Achane that year. He was the 84th overall pick. He was the 6th running back taken in the 2023 draft class. I do think that Bijan Robinson was the best running back in that draft class, but I will say, you would have been happy to end up with Jahmyr Gibbs, Zach Charbonnet. You also would have been very happy to end up with Devon Achane. And, oh, yeah, Chase Brown was also in that draft class, too. That's a really solid draft class running backs.
You can still get Chase Brown this offseason.
You could have got him that year with the 163rd overall pick in the 5th round.
It's almost like you can get running backs anywhere.
Here you go.
I like this segment. These first two segments have been just for me. I like today's show. Good energy. Good start.
I do think Bijan's the best running back in that class. You agree?
100%. Yes, I agree.
All right. Just making sure. Now knowing that you were 100% right on Bijan, would you use the 9th overall? Like, let's say that Jeremiah Love was Bijan Robinson and you felt the exact same way. Would you use the 9th overall pick on Bijan Robinson?
No.
See, I would. No. And that's why I think you and I are different. I think Love is good. He obviously is not Bijan, but if you're telling me that it was that kind of prospect in there, even if you don't sign him to a rookie deal, I would sign that player to a contract. I would draft that player with the 9th overall pick.
I would wait and find the Chase Brown, but we're just different on running back, and that's fine.
In 2018, there was a top 10 pick at running back. The 2nd overall pick, Saquon Barkley that year. Rashad Penny was also drafted that year. Sony Michel, who went to the New England Patriots, Nick Chubb, and Ronald Jones. Remember when I believed in Ronald Jones for that little bit of time? That was a fun time. That was a real fun time. That time where I believed that Ronald Jones is really going to come through and help the Chiefs. I really enjoyed that time.
You were to Ronald Jones, the text line was to Jody Fortson.
That's fair.
That's what the time was.
That's fair. I also would agree Saquon clearly the best running back in this year's draft class.
Let me ask you this, though, and I apologize for interrupting. Does the fact he didn't become great until he went somewhere else change the calculus on this a little bit?
I think he was great with the Giants, and I just think they clearly made a mistake by not re-signing him.
like he had one phenomenal year with the Giants. They then let him go. He then joined a team that just had a lot more things. And he had, I mean, one of the five best running back seasons of the last decade, I would say, that Saquon had. But I thought it was pretty clear when he was with the Giants that Saquon was a difference maker and a significant player.
I don't want to make it sound like he was bad with the Giants, but like, if we're going to say, oh, man, he was the best pick.
He peaked with the Eagles, for sure.
Correct.
I would agree there.
That his best year is when they look back at his Hall of Fame resume and they go through the process, they're going to circle that Eagles season, none of the Giants season.
Now that we're doing this exercise and I'm going through it and we still got two more draft classes to go through, it now makes me more convinced than ever that the 40th overall pick needs to be a running back.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you spend the 40th overall pick, I mean, there was a time there where Sony Michel was a very capable running back. You'd have been happy with Sony Michel.
Nick Chubb
was the 35th overall pick in his draft class. You'd have been very happy to get Sony Michel. That actually, now looking at this, I'm looking at DeAndre Swift was the 35th overall pick. Jonathan Taylor was the 41st overall pick. Cam Akers, who ended up being a good player. J.K. Dobbins was a second round pick. Now doing this exercise, and let's see where we are with 17 and 16. Those running back classes also had a guy that was picked in the top 10. This just convinces me more than anything, you should go edge in the first round, and then that second round pick, if you don't address it in the draft or in free agency and go get Breece Hall or somebody, for example, you should spend the 40th overall pick on a running back, because your chance of getting a Pro Bowler, you still got a very good chance at a very, very reasonable salary. It's going to be, what, 4 years, $11 million for a top running back if you get one there? Yeah, this just makes me feel more strongly about using one at 40.
Yeah, we can finish the exercise, but what I'm learning quickly is, yes, there's elite talent at the top end, but that's not where the talent ends. I bet if we did the same exercise with edge rusher, you would find the top talent falls off a lot more aggressively.
2017, this is a draft class. Listen to the top five running backs that were taken. Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara. The sixth running back that year was Kareem Hunt. James Conner is also in that draft class as well. We can keep going down. Aaron Jones is in that draft class. Jamal Williams is in that draft class, who turned out to be a very productive running back. That's a strong draft class back in 2017. Do you think Leonard Fournette's the best running back in that draft class? I don't even know if he's the top five back in that class in hindsight.
I'm going to say no. Nope.
And people love Fournette coming out of LSU. I don't think he's a top five running back. McCaffrey was better than he was. Dalvin Cook was better than him. Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt's ceiling was better than him. James Conner was a better running back than he was. Aaron Jones has been a better running back than he was. I don't even know if Fournette was the top five back in his own class.
I mean, I guess Dalvin Cook's out of the league. Everyone else is still playing football.
For sure.
Leonard Fournette's.
And some of these guys at a high level.
Yeah.
And Christian McCaffrey's an all pro this year.
Leonard Fournette's is he on a podcast? He doing something?
That's like, crazy. Does he have a podcast? Is the new he's washed up. he got a podcast. Oh, he cooked. You're cooked. Nobody in the prime of their career has a podcast. There are no guys in their fourth year in the league that got a podcast. No, you're cooked. You're at the end. It's over. You're starting to think about other things once you get a podcast. All right, 2016. This is the last draft class in the last 10 years that has had a top 10 pick at running back. Number fourth overall pick, Ezekiel Elliott. Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake, CJ Procise, Tyler Irving. Those are the top five running backs in that year's draft class. I mean, Derrick Henry was clearly a better running back than Ezekiel Elliott. Now, you could have got Derrick Henry a little bit later.
The other guys, I'm trying to figure out who they are.
How did Derrick Henry get drafted to the second round? They watched that guy in college and they didn't take him till pick 45. What happened that year?
Is that a heavy quarterback year? I don't know.
I just want to understand how 44 players went before Derrick Henry.
Did he run a bad 40?
What did you not see from Derrick Henry in college?
And that would have been after he stood next to Mark Ingram and just towered over him in the national championship game.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get it. This is a fun exercise. I'm happy that we did this. But yeah, that now in doing this exercise and just like wanting to do it in real time and not go into it knowing the outcome of it, yeah, this makes me more convinced than ever that you can find a really good running back with the 40th overall pick. Like, take your David Bailey. Take your Reuben Bain Jr., take your potential superstar wide receiver at 9, and then with that second round pick, try to find a really productive running back that you can have for the next 6 to 8 years. I mean, that guy exists in every single draft class between picks 35 and 50 every single year.
Now, I don't want to defend people who want Jeremiah Love in the top 10, but I will say it's more work and it's harder to find that guy. Like to the last draft class. Yeah, Derrick Henry is available at 45. Don't know how or why, but he was. There were also people that picked CJ Procise, and they thought that's the answer. Like it is more difficult to find the player there, but there are 100% players there and players available. Last year, more and more feels like the one where the Chiefs messed up and not taking one early, but they can reconcile Emmett Johnson at Nebraska, Jordan Price in Notre Dame. They're the Singleton kid from Penn State, a lot of people like that. There are names to correct the problem in the second or third round of this year's draft. It doesn't have to be Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a very good running back that's selected in that 35 to 50 range. I mean, last year was Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. You'd have been happy with either one of those running backs. You go back a couple of years ago, Zach Charbonnet was selected during this time. If you go back to 2022, so now we're talking about these guys are now coming up as free agents. Kenneth Walker was the 41st overall pick. Breece Hall was the 36th overall pick. James Cook was the 63rd overall pick. I mean, there's going to be in this year's draft class, there's going to be at least two very good running backs that get selected in the second round of the NFL draft. And you got the ability, you would believe, at 40 to go get that guy. So go get him. And that might honestly be a better play for you than maybe spending the $42 million to go get Breece Hall. Spend the 40th overall pick on a running back. Spend a little bit less. Get yourself a solid number two running back that's not nearly going to break the bank for. And then just keep that cap flexibility and then just try to figure out the rest of the roster.
I mean, I don't need to say anything else. You just said verbatim how I would handle running back this offseason. We can disagree on the cheap name. I have thrown out the idea of Kenneth Gainwell because he sounds like a Jerick McKinnon type. Tyler Algier is another name that falls in this category. I think Bucky Irving is a free agent. Rashad White. I had the wrong Bucks running back. That guy is available. You don't have to reset the market. You don't have to have massive money at running back. Sign that guy, draft this third round guy, and suddenly your running back room is light years better. And you're also not relying on Breshard Smith, the seventh round rookie, to be a cure-all. Like, yeah, there's a way to handle this without getting Breece Hall or Jeremiah Love and still be in a light years better spot at this point next year than you are this year. Like, it doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. It's not just Breece Hall and a top 10 pick or seventh round bums. There's a middle ground in which the Chiefs should 100% be operating.
I want to play this audio for you guys because one of the staples of Super Bowl week is being lied to by the commissioner of the National Football League. I love it. I really do. I enjoy it. Every year he does his State of the Union and he just doesn't tell us the truth. So the first thing is they're adding more international games. They're going to Paris. Like, they're going to new countries this time. They are just, the NFL is a traveling circus. We're going to take it all around the world to come see our amazing attraction. We make a lot of money off of this. The television partners love it. The players make more money off of it. You know, here's Roger Goodell when he was asked about how do players feel about all this international.
We are getting great reactions from our teams. They all want to play. Our players loved it. One of the greatest things from last season was talking to our players and our coaches about how proud they were to be there and talk about the game, to help globalize the game. And they felt like ambassadors, I think, and they enjoyed the experience. And that's really part of it.
You believe this? Because, I mean, I remember hearing about the Chiefs. I mean, they stayed 2 hours away from the facility and the NFL encouraged them not to go outside.
The year previous, if I recall, didn't they tell the Eagles and Packers players don't wear green around the
you can't
complex?
You can't even wear team official apparel outside. That's like gang affiliation out there is what he were told. Those guys loved being ambassadors to the league. We can't go outside. Fields are in terrible conditions. Okay. Makes sense.
I mean,
remember when the Chiefs had all those travel issues?
Mm-hmm.
It took them, an extra 8 hours, extra 10 hours of travel to get there? We felt like that kind of got their season off to a bad start. You think the Chiefs loved the international game last year? You think they were just going around, hey, we're ambassadors for the game? You think that's how they felt?
I can't speak for all of them, but I'm guessing as Xavier Worthy walked out of the stadium in a sling, he wasn't thinking, ambassadorship, baby, am I right?
I want to play one more cut for you guys. I would imagine, I don't want to assume, but I would imagine that you are unhappy with the officiating in the National Football League. I think a majority of us are frustrated at times with the officiating. Now, here's the thing. I actually think the officiating in the league is probably pretty good. But I think a big issue is it's not consistent, which creates frustration. This is the analogy. For those of you that eat Chipotle, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the same food. It's the same restaurant. We all know some Chipotles are different than other Chipotles. You might not go to that one Chipotle, but you got your favorite Chipotle. They're going to look out for you a little bit more. You'll get a little bit more meat in there. They'll be a little kinder to you, a little courteous. Like, they're not going to skimp you on the portions. That's kind of how I think the NFL is. I think the NFL officiating, if you're looking at it in its own silo, I think the officiating in the league is probably good. But we all do this. We see a play. We see how it gets called one time. We then all have good memories. And hold on, wait. What about this call that you made 2 weeks ago with a different officiating crew? They called that same play exactly the opposite of this one. It's them constantly going to a rules analyst to then contradict the person on the field, but then agree with the person on the field. It's just confusing for everybody. Here's Roger Goodell on the current state of the officiating in the National Football League.
I'm so amazed at how good our officials are. I mean, you know, we spend time all week looking at various angles and still debating it a week later. These guys have to make a split-second decision. And the men and women on our field are incredible. And I think that they've proven over and over again they're really wonderful at what they do. On the other hand, it's a difficult sport to officiate. It's fast. It's quick. And we have to be able to use technology, in my view, to try to prevent the obvious errors.
Okay. You know what I hear? We're not changing anything. That's what I hear. We're not changing anything. We think the game is never been more popular than it is currently. There's no arguing that. There's never been more interest in our game than it is now. And a large part of me, now this is Carrington saying this, a large part of me believes that the league loves these controversies because it keeps us talking about them in the middle of the week. I think this is part of the package when it comes to the NFL. It's part of the theater of it. It's part of the reality TV aspect. I think the league loves us arguing about the Brandon Cooks play. I do. I think they want us to argue about the Brandon Cooks play. I think it's part of the sport. So I don't think anything is changing with the officiating in the National Football League. What you are mad about today, other than the tush push, you'll be mad about next year. I do think they're getting the tush push out of here. I think there's enough sentiment, and I think there's enough people that have kind of come, I guess maybe feel in line with me. I was fine with it. But the more and more that everybody starts to run it, it's just, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of them not having the ability to officiate it. I'm tired of not knowing where the ball is. I'm tired of not knowing when the play is going to be blown dead. I'm over the tush push, and I want them to just go back to run a traditional quarterback sneak. I'm not anti-quarterback sneak. I'm anti that quarterback sneak. Just hand the ball off. Or just QB sneak it like normal. But none of this Bills and Broncos, you can push Josh Allen 15 yards. I don't want to see that anymore. Please get this play away from all of us. So other than the tush push, I don't think we're going to see any major changes to the National Football League. And this is a side note. They didn't talk about this. I actually like the kickoff rule. The kickoff rule, I think, has worked. I got to give them credit for what they've done with special teams. They have made extra points more exciting again. They have also made kickoffs exciting again. Now, I still don't know if I fully understand the kickoff rules. Like, I can't tell you all the ins and outs of the kickoff rules. I get the general gist of it. I think the public also understands the general gist of it. But it is better. It is much more exciting and much more enjoyable to watch kickoffs than it was 3 years ago. And outside of that, I don't really know what else I could have asked for, honestly. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Matt Tate. He covers the Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas had a win for the ages yesterday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison and Rob Brenton.
You losers is what you are.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Build something you can be proud of. There's something incredibly satisfying about learning something new and actually watching your progress build over time. That's what I love about Rosetta Stone. You don't have to dive in for hours. You start small, fit lessons into your day, and suddenly you're understanding more than you thought you would. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, and their immersive, intuitive method really stands out. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists and no feeling lost. You learn naturally, starting with words, building to phrases, and then full sentences, without English translations. So it actually sticks. Plus, Rosetta Stone offers 25 languages, from Spanish and French to German and Japanese, all designed for long-term retention. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners of this podcast can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube?
I was so amazed at how he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube.
I think we should call a doctor.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two King or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two King or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, we're going to be joined by Matt Tate coming up in 15 minutes. Before we do that, two things that I would like to get to. The first thing is, let's wrap up what we were talking about with Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell says that the players love international games, that they love being ambassadors for the game, even though in Brazil they couldn't go outside. A player last year got robbed when he left the hotel. The players love the international games. Roger Goodell also says that they love the officiating in the league. They don't think the officiating in the league could be much better than what it currently is. Also, the topic of the 18th game has come up, and Roger Goodell says they have not had any formal conversations about it. Right now, the players actually don't have a leader of the union. Remember, Pablo Torre found all that stuff out last year. They ended up not having a leader, and right now they're kind of trying to figure some things out. So they have not had any formal conversations about an 18th game, even though we all know they are eventually going to an 18th game. So now the interim director said, quote, "The 18th game, our members have no appetite for an 18th regular season game." That is important to note because in March of 2020, the players also had no appetite for 17 games, and then they agreed to a 17th game and basically got no marijuana for it. That's all they got. They got no more marijuana suspensions and fines, and they agreed to work more for the owners. So I would not listen to any of this. I think we all know they are going to 18 games. I think the league also pretty clearly wants to move the Super Bowl more into February than it already is, and have it be President's Day weekend. I think that is clearly what the league is pushing for. So the league, what they ask for, they are normally going to get. Rob, have you been keeping up? There is a lot of NBA buzz and rumors that are coming down. So we already know that Giannis is potentially on the move, and I think you are seeing teams start to trade and make moves to potentially put themselves in position. So Minnesota just made a significant trade to free up some cap space. Everybody thinks that's what it is possibly for. Did you see this, though? Maybe this hasn't come across your timeline. The Warriors are open to trading Draymond Green, and Draymond Green and his camp have been informed that this is a possibility, and they are open to it. Steph would trade his boy for one more chance at a ring? I mean, they were the big three. You already sent Klay Thompson off with Meg Thee Stallion out in Dallas. You're about to send Draymond Green to Milwaukee so you could pair with Giannis and try to give yourself one more chance at the chip? Steph, this is not loyalty.
I mean, loyalty be damned. If you have a chance for a talent, we just said earlier in the show, 25 minutes ago, if he's got a podcast, that's code for he's washed.
That is
that what's Draymond Green most known for right now?
A podcast.
It's a podcast. Yeah. You got a chance to trade a podcaster for what? Even though he's, I guess, injured right now. I'm air quoting injured. You have a chance to trade for a top 15 talent in the NBA? Trade a podcaster to do it? You 100% do that. Steph Curry's legacy is not tied to Draymond Green. It's tied to how many rings he has at the end. He got the one post Durant glow with Andrew Wiggins over the Celtics. He gets another one. You can make a very solid case. He's the best point guard of all time. You got to go. You got to chase rings. That's what we do in the NBA.
Yeah, but you would trade. You would trade Draymond to do it.
Draymond, I would trade Draymond a long time ago. The minute he punched Jordan Poole in the face, I would have run him out of town.
Sending him to Milwaukee, though.
He's from the area. He's from Detroit. It's all the same.
Sending him to Milwaukee. Come on now. I thought he was deeper than this. Rob, if I woke up one day and you told me that you were trying to trade me and I was like, where are you going to send me? And you told me Salt Lake City. I don't know if I could speak to you again after that. If tomorrow I found out through our PD, hey, Rob's been having conversations. He's cool with us trading you to Buffalo. I don't know if we could speak anymore. Man, me and you, we've lived out in San Francisco now for the last 15 years. We've been brothers. I was in your wedding. You were in my wedding. We played in the Olympics together. I love you, Steph. You're cool with them trading me to Milwaukee? Why couldn't you sign off for me to go to Miami? Why couldn't you sign off for me to go play with the Lakers? You want me to go play with the Bucks for my final year? That Draymond Green Bucks jersey is going to be nasty. That's going to be a nasty jersey.
He should wear a weird number just to lean into it.
73.
I'm going to say, we're 62.
73.
Don't you dare put 23 on, Draymond. People might buy it.
Draymond Green wearing a 73 Bucks uni. That's going to replace the Patrick Ewing for the Orlando Magic. That's going to replace the Hakeem Olajuwon playing for the Raptors or Sean Kemp playing for the Cavs. If you're telling me that we're going to have a Draymond Green NBA swingman 64 jersey, that's nasty work.
It does feel like, and we don't have to talk, I know it's the NBA in Kansas City, but it does feel like we're about to have a very active NBA trade deadline.
I agree. I think the fireworks are coming starting tonight.
I really wish other sports had a major trade deadline. Like in the NFL, what was the biggest mid deadline trade we got last year? I can't even remember what it was. Like, is there one that I'm forgetting? Like, oh man, so-and-so got moved. Baseball, it's kind of been watered down. It feels like the NBA is about to move Giannis and James Harden and maybe Draymond Green. It feels like major shakeup is coming. Ja Morant feels like now he's gonna get traded. It feels like major change is coming to the league. Like, and that it gets people talking about it, which is great, but it does feel like we're on the precipice of something huge happening.
Rob, are you a big Winter Olympics person? The Winter Olympics is starting soon, right? It starts this weekend. We get the opening ceremonies. We got the story about Lindsey Vonn. I believe this is her sixth Olympic game. She tore her ACL last week and is going to compete this week in the games.
I completely ruptured my ACL. I also have bone bruising, which is a common injury when you tear your ACL, plus meniscal damage, which we're not sure if that was pre-existing or from the crash. But we have been doing extensive therapy, been consulting with doctors, been in the gym, and today I went skiing and considering how my knee feels. It feels stable. I feel strong. My knee is not swollen, and with the help of a knee brace, I am confident that I can compete on Sunday.
That's insane to me. I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about it. She tore her ACL last week and says, I feel fine. There's no swelling. It's stable. I'm going to compete in the Olympics. She might win. She's one of the greatest skiers, one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen in the Winter Games. She might win a medal. Remarkable. The Olympics start on Friday, if you were wondering. The Winter Olympics get going on Friday. Rob, you said you were a Winter Olympics guy?
No, the answer is no. I like the hockey. I like watching hockey. I like watching the USA in hockey. Canada has a bunch of people that are the best of the best. I like watching that. But, like, am I going to really sit down and watch figure skating? No. Am I gonna get locked in?
You're going to watch the figure skating. I feel like figure skating, that's the Winter Olympic gymnastics. Yeah, I'm going to watch the figure skating. I'm only really interested in two things. I'm only really interested in hockey and the figure skating. I mean, I'll watch curling a little bit. Like, it's kind of funny to watch. Yeah, it's funny to watch, but, like, I'm not sitting down and really watching it. I'm much more of a Summer Olympic guy than a Winter Olympic guy. But, yeah, you can definitely get me with a nice ice routine for figure skating, and you can get me with the men's ice hockey, just the intensity, playing for your country, NHL players. Yeah, you can get me to watch those two things. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point about, you know, the figure skating being the gymnastics of the Winter Olympics. I feel like I don't mean this as any disrespect to the Olympic athletes. Gymnastics just feels like it takes more athleticism to do, so it's more interesting to me than figure skating. I also would say I like the skiing. Like, they have, like, the miles per hour. These guys are zooming downhill at crazy speeds. I like watching that, but it's never appointment television the way the Summer Olympics are. I'm never like, ooh, we got moguls tonight. We got to lock in. That's not how I get down.
Yeah, the Winter Olympics just feels like a thing to have on at the sports bar. Now, while you're eating, they just got something on and you don't really need the audio to be able to enjoy it, you know? Like, you're watching downhill skiing. Like, I don't really need to hear the commentary. I'm just watching it because it's on. But you're right. It doesn't feel appointment television, not in the way where in the Summer Olympics at night, I'm sitting in front of the television with the intention of, I'm here to watch the Olympics. I want to see the shot put. I want to see the long jump. I want to see the triple jump. I want to see these events. There are very few events in the Winter Olympics that I feel like I really, really need to see. But I am for the ice hockey. And I do think the figure skating is a lot of fun. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to basketball. We're going to be joined by Matt Tate, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks. They had a great road win yesterday. We'll get to it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You know Graybar for electrical parts. But there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.